Tango Tango Papa 1833, February 18, 2014.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Bettendorf, Iowa. So I've been wherever I've been, I don't know, here and there. And if you really want to know, go to YouTube. Go to my, search for Trucking with Tom, and I've been putting up a daily video blog or vlog. So far, I've got 8 episodes up there, and right now I'm working on uploading here in a while the 9th episode that I just recorded a while ago. And so, I'm kind of giving a little daily rundown of what's going on. So, ended up having to drive in snow today. Yeah, I'm northern Illinois. It had, I don't know, probably like 7 inches of snow or something like that. Today was the 18th. And, I'm sorry, the 17th. Sorry about that. I haven't been yawning, and then all of a sudden here I'm yawning. 17th, today was the 17th. So there was a bit of a snowstorm, about 7 or 8 inches. And at one point, the traffic was on Interstate 39, which I was on. The traffic was down to 15 miles an hour. And then there was actually right through there, there was lots of traffic. And people were trying to occupy the left lane and go faster, even though you couldn't see the left lane. It was almost a whiteout condition, very close to it. And you still had people sort of darting in and out, trying to see which lane was faster. So, I don't know. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I know why people do that. They think they're going to get ahead. And, they usually don't. Or they may think they're ahead, and then something happens somewhere else. People have the idea that, and it's easy. I guess it's easy to think that, if there is no God, and it's just strictly a physical world, that, and everything's scientific, and so if you get ahead in one area, quote-unquote ahead, that it's not going to affect other areas. And life does not work that way. For example, I'll give the example, you steal the pen out of the bank, and you think nobody's looking. You're able to take it, and nobody saw you do it. Well, you traded a little piece of your soul for that. And there are consequences for that. And they may not, it may seem, if you just think that it's strictly a physical world and look at it from that standpoint, it may seem to you that that could have absolutely no consequences elsewhere, but it does. It has big consequences. And I talked about that a little bit in the video that I'm, the 9th episode that I'm putting up right now, the video, talked a little bit about that. You receive a reward when you do the right thing. And when your conscience tells you to do the right thing, it's subtle, and it tells you to do the right thing, and you actually follow through and do the right thing, you immediately get a reward. And at the same time, if you do the wrong thing, then of course that immediately puts you at odds with it, with that conscience, and then you have to start twisting things in your mind so that, you know, kind of turning wrong into right, it ends up twisting your perception of the world. It actually puts you into sort of a false virtual reality world where things are upside down and they're skewed and they're twisted, so that wrong is right and right is wrong, and the spirit that that you've put yourself in the hands of is really your, you know, it's really you wanted to do whatever it is whatever you're motivated to do. You know, you're motivated, you know what, you know, and it's basically coming from suggestions around you. But you'll twist it in your head so that you think, oh, I really wanted to do whatever it was. I really wanted to buy the new whatever, even though I knew the salesman was putting the pressure on me. I really wanted to do it, so on and so forth. And that's what's wrong with people. That's what's wrong with the world. And it generally goes from bad to worse. And people don't want to be reminded that they're slaves. And they'll actually make laws to make it illegal for you to basically remind them that of their slavery. They don't want the illusion pierced. So. But it never ceases to amaze me. So, but people will go to great lengths to try to stay in that, you know, in sort of a lie world. And they're at, you know, enemies with their conscience. And so, you know, and I don't know. It really comes down to you have to really want to know the truth. You have to really be looking for it. You have to really want it. And if you really, really, really want it, and that's kind of a mystery as to why, but if you really want to know, then you can find out and you'll know. You know, it's not going to be revealed to you all at once, but you'll know. But you got to want it. It's salvation is not an instant process, despite what these these so-called religious leaders in different churches teach. It is not an instant process. Sorry, but it's not. So, let's see. So I have, I should have brought this up. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see. Where did I put that? Found this article, and it was about, there's this new, you know, the latest and greatest of the political correctness. And let me see if I can. Because I sent myself a note with the link to the article. I may have to stop the computer so that I can find it. Let me go ahead and do that, because this is, otherwise I'm going to have a problem. It may take me a couple of minutes to find the article. Be right back. Okay, so I found the article, and this is just absolutely absurd. Microaggression mania. So it's microaggression. Have you ever heard of that term? I never have. McGill University, and of course that's in Canada, but it doesn't really matter because it's, you know, the Canadians are infected too. Let's see. McGill University student leader apologizes for a GIF of Obama kicking open a door. And so they got a picture of it here. And all this guy did was email the picture. He had a picture of Obama kicking a door in Canada. And it actually, it was on Fox News. There's a Fox News logo here. Okay. Microaggression, quote unquote, is the latest craze in racial grievance, something we highlighted when a UCLA professor was accused of the transgression for correcting grammar on minority students' papers. The fake scenario of Obama kicking open a door after a press conference went viral after Jay Leno showed it on The Tonight Show. It obviously was fake, but took on a life of its own on the internet, causing Snopes to issue a false rating of a video comparing the original and edited versions. It also spawned a GIF of the key moment. All fairly lighthearted humor, but Brian Farnan, Vice President for Internal Affairs at the Student Society of McGill University, SSMU in Canada, thought it was funny too and circulated the GIF as part of a weekly mailing. That got him in trouble with the Thought Police, who filed a complaint against him with SSMU's Equity Committee, which enforces an expansive equity policy banning a broad range of supposedly quote-unquote oppressive conduct. As reported by the McGill Tribune, on October 17, Farnan sent out a weekly SSMU listserv that included a link to a GIF file of United States President Barack Obama kicking down a door, originally a clip that was manipulated and aired by The Tonight Show. There was a complaint issued and the process was followed. The public process as equity complaints are done, Farnan said. According to the equity policy, a submitted complaint can undergo either an informal resolution or a formal resolution, which Farnan explained as the cause of the 3-month delay between the submission of the complaint and his apology. When you add the informal, getting both sides to respond, each side has X amount of days, it just starts to add up, Farnan said. The goal is to solve it in an informal process. If it's gone to a formal process, usually one can deduce that the informal process was not sufficient. Under the formal process, the complaint in question was forwarded to a SSMU equity officer who made a recommendation upon investigation of the complaint. Depending on the nature and severity of the harassment, the remedies for policy violations may include, but are not limited to, letters of apology, suspension of the respondent from their position within the SSMU, and dismissal of the respondent from their position within the SSMU. Why does that repeat? The policy reads, the recommendation was then brought to the confidential session of the SSMU's December 5th Legislative Council meeting, where, according to the policy, it required 2/3 opposition to be overturned. Equity recommendations at this point cannot be revised. Although the SSMU process does not appear to be public, we do know the end result. Farnan issued a public apology for engaging in microaggression. The email in question contained the phrase, "Honestly, midterms, get out of here," followed by a URL leading to a GIF image of President Obama violently kicking a door and storming out of the room following a press conference. The inclusion of the GIF image was intended to bring a humorous tone to the email and use President Obama's frustration with the press conference in question to mimic the frustration students feel when confronted with midterm examinations. Despite the innocent intentions influencing my decision to use this particular image, I have come to recognize the negative implications of adding the GIF image within this given context. Oppression, as outlined in SSMU's equity policy, means the exercise of power by a group of people over another group of people with specific consideration of cultural, historical, and living legacies. The image in question was an extension of the cultural, historical, and living legacy surrounding people of color, particularly young men, being portrayed as violent in contemporary culture and media. By using this particular image of President Obama, I unknowingly perpetuated this living legacy and subsequently allowed a medium of SSMU's communication to become the site of a microaggression. For this, I am deeply sorry. God. This is insane. Absolutely, completely, utterly insane. And you say, oh, this is Canada. Well, it may be going on in Canada, but it's going on all over North America, probably with the exception of Mexico. It's ridiculous. This is what goes on in the schools. This is why I say, if you love your kids, you do not send them to public school. You know, and you say, well, this is a university. Well, it starts any public school. It goes on, and it doesn't matter whether it's the United States or Canada or wherever. You send your public school or your kids to public school, you don't love them. It's simple as that. This is absolutely insane. God. And this goes on and on and on and on, this article does. And so, microaggression. Yeah, so, it's absolutely ridiculous. And so, this is the world that we have consigned future human beings to. All because we wouldn't speak up. All because we wanted our goodies. All because we didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Don't dare tell them the truth, because you'll hurt their feelings. You might hurt their feelings. You know, don't tell them it's wrong to have an abortion. Oh, you'll hurt their feelings. Don't tell them it's wrong to shack up, to live together, and not be married. You'll hurt their feelings. Don't tell them that it's wrong to steal. You'll hurt their feelings. Don't tell them that it's wrong to just be lazy and, you know, be a sloth, in other words. You'll hurt their feelings. It's utterly ridiculous. So anyway, I saw that article and it's insane. Absolutely insane. And there's plenty of insanity obviously going on. And I, you know, most of the time I'm reading the headlines, and once in a while, as I've said before, I'll read one of the articles, and most of the time I just completely ignore it, because it's predictable. And the real problem, again, it's our morals have gone into the toilet. We've allowed it to go into the toilet. People won't speak up. because, you know, there is a, you know, we do have this conscience. We have this thing called conscience. And it's not manufactured by society, as a lot of people think. They think that it's all programmed by society. Somebody programmed it. And that's not the case. It's latent, meaning that it's not dominant. It doesn't dominate us. We, you know, it's there and it's reminding us. And we have to, if you know, that is, you know, we're not forced to follow it. It's not like a, you know, an instinct that forces an animal to do whatever it does. We have a choice as human beings. And so if you can, in a society, you know, it takes the adults, it takes people to speak up and to say what is right and not only say what is right but do what is right, but to be willing to speak up and point out the errors. Willing, if you're willing to do that, then, you know, the idea is that, like if you're raising a kid, the idea is that you kind of throw them back on themselves and sort of contain them. And then if you do a good, if you do the job right, then they become self-controlled. They have their own relationship with their conscience. And they have self-control and so on and so forth. And they're a whole human being. And if you don't do the job right, you end up with something, a creature that's just out of control. And you have maybe spoiled them, given them too much. Robbed them of their dignity, robbed them of the ability to learn the value of work and so on and so forth. Robbed them of their grace, robbed them of their of this relationship that they could have with their conscience. And it's really the relationship with your with their creator. You're depriving them of that. Is really what's going on. And that's really what we've done to future generations at this point. We're depriving them, we're attempting to deprive them of the relationship that they, the potential relationship they could have with their creator. And if too many people are out of control, too many people don't have a relationship, too large of a percentage of people don't have a relationship with their creator, all hell breaks loose. Because if you don't have a relationship, I can say this, if you don't have a relationship with your creator, you do have a relationship with the recreator, evil. That's the only other choice. Evil acts through you, and then you make all kinds of excuses as to why it's really a good thing, why evil's really good. You make all kinds of excuses that you know, why you're in favor of this or you're in favor of that, and you come up with all kinds of cockamamie reasoning, jump through all kinds of hoops, intellectual hoops, in order to try to justify your silly behavior. So, you know, and it, so anyway, you got to do what's right. You got to want to know what's right. And you have to be willing to listen to that and do the right thing, even if you're penalized. Even if you, you know, because there's a lot of things that are set up so that it sort of penalizes you if you do the right thing. And it sort of therefore encourages you to do the wrong thing. Well, you're much better off doing the right thing, even if you perceive that you're being penalized because you're doing the right thing. You're still better off doing the right thing, because you receive an immediate reward for doing the right thing. And as at the same time, you do the wrong thing and you lose. It may seem like, at the time, it may seem like, well, you know, let's say you swipe the pen from the bank. It may seem, oh boy, I got this free pen. Big advantage. You lost. You lost. And, you know, there is no meaning in things, in having things. There is no meaning in tasting food and, you know, being a glutton. There is no meaning in that. That's an empty thing. And the more you eat, the emptier it becomes. The more things you have. Try to fill yourself with things. The more things you have, the emptier you feel. The only thing that can give you real fulfillment is a relationship with your Creator. But that, you know, and I'm not saying that kind of in the traditional religious sense. You have to have a relationship with your original God-given identity. And that's got to be a genuine relationship. Can't be fake or phony. Because if it is, you might as well not even, you know, if you got this fake and phony thing where you go to church and you all smile at each other and so on and so forth, you might as well just, go to the bar instead, or, you know, do something else. Why waste your time, with the people that are smiling at you? You know, and you pay the preacher. The preacher's a paid whore to, you know, he smiles at you and you passes the plate. You're paying a whore, basically. Paid ego sucker. So the only thing that's real, that can give you real satisfaction, is a relationship with that guiding spirit that sort of whispers to you the right thing to do. You know, it tells you, you know, you see what the right thing to do is and you do it. And so on and so forth. And it's progression. And that's the only thing that can lead to any real satisfaction. The rest of it's all an empty, it's just all devoid. It's empty. It's an illusion. The other thing I wanted to talk about, you know, I've kind of noticed that, it's not a very good idea. You know, people get too emotional. They abuse their emotions. And, of course, they're doing that more and more and more. People that are moving in the wrong direction end up using their emotions in ways that, you know, really were never intended. And it ends up with dire consequences. People end up with serious medical conditions because they end up abusing their emotions. And it's possible, I really believe it's possible to actually cause brain damage. It's actually possible for you to damage your own brain with the processes that go on in your mind. Of course, you have resentment. Resentment doesn't have anywhere to go. It comes back on the person that's doing the resenting, and then they're depressed. They're chronically depressed. Well, and they've got a chemical imbalance in their brain. Well, how did that happen? You know, did that chemical imbalance just suddenly appear? No. It happened as a result of the resentment. And so I've noticed something interesting in my own life. I'm not nearly as emotional as I once was. And I find it pretty fascinating, because some of the things, like let's say people dying or even threatened with death, and I see people, you know, they're kind of shocked and what have you, and they really shouldn't be. When somebody, you know, somebody's about to die or whatever, they shouldn't be shocked by it. What's shocking, you know, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. It's going to happen to all of us. But yet, you see people kind of becoming emotional over it. And, you know, it's, I don't know. In my own case, my emotions seem pretty diminished. And I think that's actually a great thing. You know, because otherwise, if you're increasingly sensitive to your environment, you're increasingly sensitive to what people think, and you're increasingly sensitive to this and sensitive to that, that's a perversion. I believe that's really a perversion of existence, and it has some rather negative consequences. If it's allowed to go on for an entire lifetime, it does have negative consequences, and I think oftentimes it has negative medical consequences, negative physical consequences. Not to mention character consequences. Sort of destruction of character. So I think that emotions, if you're kind of in control, you know, emotions, there are some emotions that, you know, there are natural emotions that human beings should have, but they should not be we pervert them, we amplify them, we turn them into something that they shouldn't be. And again, we suffer we suffer the consequences. And so, you know, in my own case, I'm noticing that, you know, my emotions, you know, I'm not really very emotional. And so I can kind of look out and see things, and, you know, even, you know, not only, you know, in the entire, you know, in the world, but even, you know, personally, I'm just not that emotional. And I'm kind of happy about that. You know, and I think it's possible that, you know, certainly everything that we do, whatever goes on in our minds has physical consequences in our brain. No question about it. So therefore, if you can diminish your emotions, you know, or they end up becoming diminished, it's possible that, you know, that part of the brain I don't know if it would be smaller or it's less important. And it's possible that it could be taken over by other functions. But emotions, I know people think their emotions are wonderful and so on and so forth, but I'm telling you that, you know, it's, I believe that they're actually a pretty negative thing. You know, now, you know, it's fine to, you know, kissy, kissy, huggy, huggy your kid or whatever. You know, a little kid, you know, and that type of thing, that's fine, not a problem. But, you know, if somebody dies, is that, you know, is it like they, you know, the rug's pulled out from under you? You know, is it the end of your world if somebody dies? With a lot of people, it is. You know, if somebody dies, that's the end, you know, they just go into a tailspin. And I've seen that happen over and over again. With friends and relatives. And again, I think that's wrong. That, you know, that should not be. That's not, and it's not healthy. It's certainly not healthy. But I don't know, I just hadn't really realized until today, you know, I was kind of thinking about it, and I realized, well, you know, I'm not nearly as emotional as I once was. Because at one time, you know, of course, years ago, I was very, you know, I could be very emotional, especially, you know, angry, and I was proud that I was angry. Proud of being angry. And again, that has negative consequences. It really does. But, you know, you got to go through it. That's why we're here. We're here not to be perfect, but to find out where the negative stuff goes. That's why we're here, is to find out where the negative stuff goes, and then we have the opportunity to begin to move in the other direction. But only if we really want to, because there is this thing called free will. You know, and even that is a big mystery. Because, you know, is free will really free? So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. Make sure that my video uploaded. Let me check and see real quick. See if it did upload. Let's see. Well, yeah, it probably did. I think it did, and it's probably, it goes through this lengthy thing where it says processing. And actually, when you upload a video to YouTube and it says processing, what that means is that it's rendering it into some more than one file format. So it's rendering it into different file formats so that you have, you know, like an iPod, you know, like the iOS version and so on and so forth. And so now I'm looking on the computer here in the browser. And episode number 9 is in the process of processing. So, anyhow, better be cutting this off. Hope everyone is having a great week so far. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.